You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Hey, y'all, welcome to the Best Bits. This is Just the Bits. It's Morgan here. And what we're going to do is count down seven segments from the Bobby Bones Show this week that y'all really loved. And we're just going to kick it off and get started because coming in hot at number seven, Lunchbox was dared to nap in public. And if he was able to do it without being interrupted for 15 minutes from himself or from an employee or anything like that, then he would get $100 from Bobby. And well, I'm just going to say he did it. And it was nice and awkward, so here you go.
Number seven.
I mentioned on the air that I thought it'd be a funny segment if Lunchbox went into a mattress store because we had to, you know, we went through the whole process of like, okay, which sleep number do we want? Cause that's our kind of bed. And so I had to go and like, go, they went to this, like laid on them, like, okay, I like this one now. And so I was like, it'd be funny if Lunchbox just went to a store and just went to sleep, like testing it out. And I guess I offered money. I'm going to believe you. I said, $100.
Yes, and you told me I had to sleep for 15 minutes.
I said that's awesome. I didn't know I said that long.
Yeah, and you said, so you have to have someone witness it. And I was like, well, if I take my wife, he's not, of course, my wife will just say I did it. So I hit up Abby. I was like, hey, I need you to meet me at a mattress store. So we Google mattress stores. I have, you know, don't know what they're going to look like. We show up. It is a tiny mattress store.
Abby, what did it look like in there?
Oh, yeah, it was really small and like one employee.
And you went in first, but without Lunchbox.
Yes.
So they didn't know you were together.
Right. So I'm just looking at beds casually.
But it seems like for a long time you had to look at beds.
Yes. I was waiting for him to get in there. I was like trying to like Google mattresses and act like I was interested.
How long were you in the store before he actually walked in?
Oh, man. Probably 5 to 10 minutes.
Wow. That would be an eternity. Yes. Just waiting for him to come in.
Tiny store.
So you walk in. Are you wearing pajamas or anything?
Nope. Just wearing shorts, a t-shirt, shoes. And I walk right up to the lady. She's sitting behind a desk. And I was like, yeah, ma'am, where are your soft mattresses? And she's like, trying to tell me something, I don't know. And she points at one right by her desk, right next to her desk. And I said,
are you nervous at all? Or do you feel just...
No, I didn't care one bit. I was like, I'm tired. I'm going to fall asleep. It's going to be great.
Did you feel like you could do it no problem? Did you need a blanket? I have so many questions.
I was like, man, I'm tired. It was 3 something in the afternoon. I hadn't had a nap yet.
Did you not nap on purpose?
Ding, ding, ding. So nice. I'd be tired. Mm-hmm. And so I get next to the bed and I said, do I need to take my shoes off? And
did you take your shoes off?
No need to take your shoes off, man.
Why?
They don't pad on the bottom?
No. They said no problem. No need to take them off.
Wow. Okay, here's the first clip. This is you asking for a certain type of mattress. And then he apparently falls asleep in this clip. Abby, but where are you when he's talking to the person? Is it awkward for you? Are you trying to stay? It's so small.
When he walked in, I was laying on a bed.
She's asleep.
No, I was just testing him out.
Yeah.
And so I just basically wandered around the store.
I mean, it was literally in a strip center, and it was just like the size of like a sandwich shop.
It was
like,
so
you know,
funny.
Like a Subway or a Quiznos or any of those. It was that small.
Oh, so again, this first clip is you talking about it, but then does it cut to you like laying down or what?
Yeah. You'll hear me sleep.
All right, here we go.
Which ones are your soft ones?
a coiled soft?
I don't know the difference. I'm just soft. I like soft, so I want to go try a soft one.
Okay. Well, this one right here in front of you is considered.
This one? All right. Yes. Should I take my shoes off?
No, you don't have to.
Okay. All right. Close my eyes here. See. Practice sleeping.
You practicing here?
I'm going to sleep. Man.
You are going to sleep?
That's it.
So we're hearing him go to sleep.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Is there something else you're listening for?
No, this is it.
I go to sleep.
Okay, so we have to play all this clip, though.
I have 15 minutes of it.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Well, we're not playing 15 minutes of it, but you really, literally do just to prove it?
Yeah, I lay there. I left my phone running for 15 minutes.
So, Abby, you watched him. Mm-hmm. And again, you had to stay there for 15 more minutes.
Yes.
More minutes.
Uh-huh.
Was the lady awkward at all?
No, she was kind of at her desk. But I did see at one point she got her phone out and was trying to take pictures of him. Like, to show, because I'm sure she's never seen that.
So
ever.
Did he really fall asleep?
He really did. Like, I feel like I was hearing snoring. I didn't want to get too close to him because I just had to act like I didn't know him. So I just stayed over. But I feel like I kind of did hear snoring.
Here is Lunchbox waking up after 15 minutes of sleep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm rejuvenated, ready to go back to work.
There you go.
I just need, next time we got to turn the music down a little bit. I mean, I need that. And then a blanket. I need a blanket next time, you know.
Yeah, they literally don't give us that for that reason.
Oh, man. Well, thank you. That was a good nap.
You're welcome. No problem.
Have a great day.
You too.
Woo.
Oh, my gosh.
She wasn't even like, do you want the bed?
No. She was so like, what is he doing? Because I set the alarm in my pocket so it would vibrate and it would go off.
It woke you up.
That's how I knew to wake up.
Would you have slept all day?
I'd have slept all day.
That would have been awesome.
And so then I walked out of the store.
He wakes up, it's dark. The doors are locked. He can't get out.
I walked out of the store and I went to the car. And then Abby called me later and she said she talked to the lady afterwards about what happened. And Abby, what did she say?
That was the funniest thing ever. She was like, I have never seen that in 10 years that I've been working in a mattress store, that he came in during his break to take a nap.
Well, then he also was like, all right, that'll do it. And then nothing about buying the bed. Like, it was so normal. Like, all right, appreciate that. That's, you know what? I'll Venmo you $100 right now. Nice job.
Yeah, wow. Good job, man.
Wow.
What was so funny is her desk was right there, and they were kind of facing each other.
Oh, yeah.
It was so awkward.
You fall asleep so quickly and so easily.
So quick. It's awesome.
On an airplane, he'll go, all right, I'm going to sit down. And he starts just drool, immediately starts coming out.
Yeah, drool does come out. It happens.
Any drool on the bed?
No, I was because here on the plane I'm straight up and down. When I'm on my back, I don't drool. If I'm on my side or stomach or sitting up, drool comes out.
I gotta say, this is excellent work. Yeah. It's worth the money. It's worth the money. Wow, Lunchbox killing it with 15 minutes of sleep. Next up is find even harder challenges, places for him to sleep, and see if he can do it.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm gonna go broke. Dang it. I'm gonna enjoy this segment so much, I'm gonna go broke.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week. With Morgan number two.
Mitchell Timpani was on the show this week, and he's just all around a really great, genuine dude. And he was talking about the valet job that he had when he was just starting out as an artist. He had just signed a publishing deal and needed a side gig, and he was valeting cars. And he valeted Tim McGraw's car, Martina McBride's, just some fun stories that came from him talking about these jobs that he had before he full on was able to pursue the artist thing. So y'all give it up. I mean, Mitchell Timpani, he's just awesome. If you don't listen to his music, make sure you check it out. But this interview is great. And without further ado, here's Mitchell Timpani and Bobby Bones.
Number six.
There's a lot of things to say right now. Number one is, your voice is what, 70%?
Yeah, if it's that, yeah.
And he brought his guitar and he was going to fight through it. He was going full, like, torn ACL. He's still going to play the game. But I was like, don't hurt yourself any worse. So I'm glad. First, congrats on the number one song.
Thank you. Thank you all for that.
No need to push a voice. We can play studio versions of what you've done. And thirdly, if you want to come back in and perform any other time, let us know.
Thank you,
As soon as it's back in. Like, don't stress out about it. But I would bet that your voice, even torn up, is better than what, 60% of country music?
Guys? Oh, yeah. I don't know about that. Thank you, guys.
Let's talk first. Oh, you were the last time you're supposed to come in, you got sick.
No, my brother was sick then, and so that was during COVID. It wasn't COVID. It was just a normal flu, but we were being very precautious then. So,
and we appreciate that.
No, of course. Thank you.
So, Mitchell Tenpenny, you got another number one. I don't know. I remember the first time I heard this. I was like, that's the most cutting song I've ever heard.
Oh, man.
In a loving way, in a lovely way toward you. Because it's like, stop telling lies about me. I won't tell the truth about you. And I'm like, dude. You want to yell Jerry at the end of it. Let me play a hook of the song that just went number one from Mitchell Tenpenny.
If you quit telling lies about me, I won't tell the truth about you.
When whomever said that line, did the room go, oh!
Yeah, I mean, that's literally how it was. Matt Alderman, one of the co-writers, Thomas Archer and Matt Alderman, I wrote with, and Matt said something like, man, quit lying about me, and I promise I won't tell all the truth about you, or something like that. And I was like, I know exactly how to write this song. Like, I've been there, and I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've probably, done it too, where you tell a different story. You want a better story on breakups sometimes, when you're growing up, and I don't know. It just hit me kind of hard that day when I heard it, and we massaged it to the way the melody is now. But
that's like back of the bus. Oh,
It's like a freestyle when you hit the good rhymes.
Yeah, so that's good, man. The album's called "This Is the Heavy." What does that mean,
man? I love rock and roll music too. I kind of come from that. I used to be a drummer in a band and a screamer. So the heavy, the lyrically, it's a little heavier, but everything else, the production is a little bit heavier. Country is the lyrics through and through on this. Country is storytelling to me, so we stayed that lane. But turn the guitars up a little bit, gain them up a little bit, put the drums a little bit more forward in the mix. It's just heavier. It's just a little heavier. And, I think the lyrics, because I'm a little older and life has happened a little bit more, they're a little heavier. So I just thought the title sounded cool, and then it kind of mixed, and it all kind of blended in together with where I was trying to go with this next record.
But it's also the first song, too. This is the heavy, right? Am I right?
Yeah, it's an intro track. It's an intro track into the song, too. So I miss records with intro tracks, and it just kind of sets the tone for the record, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's like that. Ladies and gentlemen, the music you're about to listen to is going to take you to an all-new place. A place that only few people have ever discovered. Your bones are going to ache.
Now I feel like we missed out on
your
something.
Your muscles are going to quake.
So you tonight, Mitchell's record comes out. This is the heavy, and it's 20 songs.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be honest, it's a lot of songs.
I know.
Are they all good or just some of them?
I'm a little biased on them, but you can be honest with me. It's been 4 years since the last record, and we started with 11. And I was like, it's got to have this other song. I can't not put this song on. And I was like, man, can you call them and ask if we can do 14? And then I was like, what about 16? And then it got to 19, and I was like, we got to make it 20.
You got to do 20. The OCD's got to go. Yeah, you got to go 20.
It's like, it's got to be two vinyls, and we could have gone to way more. It's just a lot of music was written in the last 3 years for me personally, and it's hard to pick. And especially in this time, I think people like a lot of music, so. And it'll go quicker than you think, too. Those 20 songs will be...
Yeah, one of them is 19 seconds. The there's one 19-second song. Oh. There's one song 41
that's
seconds.
That's the intro track.
Yeah, no. Oh, there's one 11 seconds. He doesn't know, but the label cut them all down. He's like, yeah, do 20.
Yeah.
You were in school to be a songwriter. You went and you studied songwriting. I always think the art's a weird thing to study.
Yeah, it wasn't really songwriting, like studying songwriting. It was just putting you in a class with other songwriters. And meeting them. They didn't teach you how to write songs. They just told you to write songs, and then we would share them.
Would you ever hear one that was terrible?
I mean, I don't think anybody's song's terrible.
Yeah, well, I've heard a few. Yeah.
If you come out and say it, who am I to say a song's terrible? But there's definitely people that, probably needed to do a different thing.
Mm-hmm. But it was. Did you tell them that?
I definitely did not, because I probably at that time definitely sounded like I needed to as well.
When you graduated and you're working construction, what what did you do daily? Because I work, I roof houses, but every job is so different. What did you do?
I think mostly, up in the rafters doing insulation and drywall.
Oh, man.
And then
you were wearing masks before COVID had them.
Yeah, we were wearing masks and just the itchy, all that fiberglass in your arms every day. I was over it, man. It was,
So you're doing that. What were you doing when you got when you finally were like, okay, I can actually make money as a songwriter and I don't have to do this anymore. What was the job you quit?
I was still valeting cars when I got my publishing deal to supplement, because your first publishing deal is not, the draw is not very good. I mean, it's enough to make you quit a job to, you know, kind of work full time there, but I still needed extra cash to live. So I was valeting cars. So I think I quit that for sure.
You ever take the change out of the middle?
No, I never did.
Okay.
Of someone's car?
Yeah, he's valeting cars. I always wonder what they're doing.
Honestly, I was so scared. I never wanted someone to accuse me of stealing. So I would make sure that I
be left money
anything.
For them, extra money. There was an extra $5 every time Mitchell parked your car.
I did not have an extra $5 back then. I promise. I wish.
Anybody cool ever drop off their car?
Yeah. You know, I parked Tim McGraw's one of his. Shoot, it was a Bentley back then. Like, I thought it was the coolest car in the world.
You drove a Bentley? I don't care about Tim McGraw. I'm just like, you drove a Bentley?
Yeah, I left it right up front, Stony River. I only moved it like 2 more feet. And then Martina McBride came out one time, and she was with her producer, and they both had separate cars, and she was handing me a $100 bill. I could see it in her hand. I was like, that's going to make my week. And her producer goes, no, I'll take care of him when he gets ours.
I was like,
oh, man, maybe I'll get double. I get both cars. It was a $5 bill, and I was like, oh, man.
What?
I just lost $95. That was funny.
That's crazy. Dang,
that's terrible.
Martina was coming hard with the hundy.
She was coming hard with the
hundy. Wow. Did you get nervous driving the big fancy cars?
Yeah, I wasn't very good at driving a stick. I didn't learn on a stick. And there was I moved a Ferrari one time in front of a steakhouse, and I stalled it out. And the guy was so nice. He leans in and he goes, racing clutch. And he smiled at me, and I was like, oh, cool. Anybody else want to help me park this car?
Wow. I always wonder if some of these cars are really weird on the inside and like the park, drive, reverse, all that's in different places and stuff. You ever get one, just get confused?
Yeah, there was a couple cars. It was right when the push button was starting to be a thing. And the nicer like Mercedes and BMWs and stuff. And I never had that. So there was a couple cars where it took me a minute to figure out how to start it.
Once, this is how big of an idiot I am. I have a car that you don't put... When the key's in it, that's like the keys starting the car. And I left it running, but I kept the key in my pocket and went and had dinner. Then they couldn't move it. And they didn't know where I went because we went to a restaurant that wasn't the one. I just wanted to use that valet spot. So they couldn't find me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And the car sitting there, and it just stayed there the whole time running.
Oh, it stayed running. Well, I just got my first with the keys like that. And I've always been confused. If I run off with the key, what's going to happen?
It'll stay there and they'll look for you and they'll be confused and you'll come back and they'll be mad at you. That'll basically be how that goes. I can help you out there.
Well, someone did that to me once. You know, we had the little box with the keys and someone decided to leave their car there and go to another restaurant. And at the end of the night, I'm like, I still have this key left, but there's no one in the restaurant that this key belongs to. And we got to go. And so I thought, you know, I lost somebody's everything, you know, and I had to call my boss. He had to come down. He was so mad at me. And then all of a sudden, they walk across the street and they get in their car and take off. And I was like, oh, well, there it was, I guess.
See, listen, Mitchell Timmy's a big star, but he's still like us, you know?
Yeah.
He still remembers what it was like to be the common man. And what is it like to transition from being the common man to a big star?
I'm still extremely common.
Man, look at this guy. It's crazy. You have 2 number ones this year. So obviously Truth About You, which just went number one. And then At the End of the Bar, which also was a number one with you and Chris Young.
It's crazy, man. Thank you. It's been a minute since Drunk Me. So I truly am honored and just grateful to be back in country radio, man.
I don't want to wear your voice out too much, but I do want to bring up one thing. And in the video for Good and Gone, you were breaking stuff.
Yeah, one of those, what do you call them? Like the chaos rooms?
Yeah, the rooms you go in with a hammer and just start.
Awesome.
Well, they brought that up, like, what if you did this? And I was like, I've never done that, and I've heard about those. Let's try it. It was a lot of fun. I can see why people need to go do that sometimes.
You liked it?
It was fun. I mean, you can definitely get hurt in there by accident. Like, you get carried away. So you walk through a room and you
How
pick
hard
up.
Are you going? What are you harboring in there?
I mean, you got a sledgehammer and an old TV. Everyone's going to go the same. You're going to go hard. But yeah, you walk through a room and you pick out the things you want. They have a price on them. And you're like, I'm going to break that. I'm going to break that.
You so pay like, as you go?
Well, the label paid for this one. I wouldn't have spent the
but
money.
But that's what it
them.
Is, though? You pay I'm as cheap. You go?
Yeah, you pay as you go. So like you might break a couple stuff and it takes 5 minutes. And you're like, dang, that's not long enough. So they know it's a good business. I mean, we need to start a wrecking room somewhere. It's pretty easy.
You know, Amy's been and has, you know, she's like, I want to break something. She's kind of turned, she's like jumping in a swimming pool fully clothed. You know, she's been going through.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's great.
We got her a TV to do that here, though. We brought her an old TV and she went to town on it.
Oh, no way. Did you?
Yeah.
It felt
we
good.
Went in the back alley and I had, I guess, a sledgehammer. Mm-hmm. And I got to just beat up the TV.
I love. Was it an old box one or like a flat?
No, screen? It was like a flat screen.
Yeah, we literally took it from his office. We were just like, let's get it.
I think it was my old.
Oh, Eddie gifted it to me. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Here's what I want to say. Good. Mitchell, congratulations on the number one song.
Thank you, Bobby.
Tonight, This Is the Heavy is out, and you can go ahead and do the whatever it is, pre-save, or you can pre-save Mitchell's next 10 albums. I don't know how that, all that's, but it's there tonight. Mitchell's record is. And when your voice is back, if it's next week and you want to come up and play next week, you're welcome to. If it's two weeks, we can do it again. You can perform. We've tried twice. And I told whomever, I was like, hey, if his voice isn't good, don't worry about it. We'll do it next week. Mitchell shows up and he's like playing, he's with the guitar back there and he's like, ugh. And I'm like, bro, there's no need. There's no need. So we appreciate the effort of being here, and we know you were going to play, but no need.
Always.
Let us know when you're good.
Thank you, man.
Let's do it again, and congratulations on everything.
Man,
all right?
That means the world. Thank you.
There he is, Mitchell 10 Penny, everybody. All right. You guys follow him, M, the number 10 Penny. M, 10, the number Penny, the end.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number 2.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the show this week, we did a millennial movie review by yours truly. I talked about watching Stand By Me for the very first time. Now, this was a favorite of Bobby and Lunchbox and Eddie's, and they kind of hyped it up before I watched it. And I did have some good things to say about it, though. This movie made me very sad, and I don't appreciate that when I watch movies. So you can hear my entire review right now. And if, you know, I think Stand By Me actually holds up over time.
Number 5.
I'm not a big movie guy, but I love Stand By Me. It's from 1986. I don't think I watched it until I was a little older. But Stand By Me, the kids, and like Jerry O'Connell.
That's right.
That was him back in the day. Train!
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
Leeches! They just yell a lot, huh?
They did, yeah. They're kids, so yeah.
But it was awesome. And it was based, I haven't seen it forever, like in the 60s though, right? But wasn't it like made in the 80s, but based in like in the 60s?
Yes, maybe even childhood. The 50s.
Yeah. So we all talked about how much we loved it. It's a 91% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. And so we had Morgan watch it. It's our millennial movie review. First time you'd seen it, right?
First time I'd seen it, even heard of it.
It's only an hour and 29 minutes. Those are the good old days.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what did you watch it on?
I actually watched it on Amazon. I had to rent it. It's not anywhere else to watch.
Oh,
you can't stream it. It's okay.
Sorry about that. So what did you think it was about before you watched it? Like, going into it, your thoughts?
Well, I saw four boys, and in the thing, it says serious life lessons. I'm like, great, this is another Goonies movie. That's my initial first thought was I'm about to watch another Goonies.
Did you watch another Goonies?
It felt that way at first because it's these four kids and they, you know, come from these rough life scenarios and they're coming together and kind of go on an adventure. But that adventure is really dark in Stand By Me. They're searching for
the dead body.
Yes.
Yeah, it's spoiler. If you haven't seen it by now, you ain't watching
it's
it.
It's been out for a long time.
They're searching for the dead body. Again, you have to help me because I haven't seen it in a long time. It was rumored.
Somebody saw the dead body, and one of the kids overheard people talking about it.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. And they're like, you know what? We'll go find it. We'll be the heroes. They wanted to show the town that they're better than everybody thought that they actually were. And so they go on this huge adventure. You guys mentioned the train. The whole thing happens. And I enjoyed it, but I just felt bad for these kids the entire movie. They have really rough lives. They go and find another kid's dead body. Then they're dealing with like older brothers who are really mean to them. And and then they're crying halfway throughout because they're learning life lessons while they're on this adventure. And you just feel bad for each character throughout. So I was like, this is not a funny movie. And I was like, this is really serious.
No one said it was funny. That. No one said it. We just said it was excellent.
I think you just attached Goonies to it.
I know, I did. Because
yeah.
I saw the four boys and I was like, great, this is the Goonies. They're going on an adventure. So it wasn't funny at all. And it had a lot more emotions and more seriousness attached to it. So I did enjoy it from that aspect. But I just really ended up feeling sad the entire time.
Did you think the leech scene was funny?
Yeah, it was funny. Also weird to watch a little kid like reach down in his pants.
Look at his underwear.
Find a big leech.
That felt weird.
That was a weird kid. That's a weird scene to watch as a kid, mm-hmm. too.
It really was.
And I thought I got leeches on my wiener everywhere I went. Now, every body of water, I was like looking down to see if I had leeches on me. What do you rate it?
So I did enjoy it. It wasn't my favorite movie I've watched, but I give it 3.5 out of 5 leeches.
That's pretty strong.
It's good.
3.5 out of 5 is good. Did it hold up? Since it was 86... Do you feel like any of you not liking it was because of how grainy it looked or any of how it was shot or looked old?
Not grainy, but there's definitely like words and things they say in there that do not hold up now.
Well, but they were in the 50s.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It doesn't hold up because there's a lot of things you wouldn't say now and you wouldn't talk about that way. So for that reason, I would say it probably doesn't hold up now.
3.5 out of 5 leeches. I like it. It's good. Would you recommend it to somebody your age?
Probably not.
Wow.
Hater.
That's crazy.
Hater.
Quickly, anyone watched a good movie lately at all? We haven't jumped back into Elvis yet on HBO Max.
Oh, I want to watch that.
It's 7 hours long, so prepare yourself.
It's not that long.
I can watch it overtime.
They need an intermission, even when you're watching at home. They need to stop it and go,
treat it like a TV show.
Yeah, they should force you to turn the TV off so you can enjoy it. But yeah, pretty good. Any movies at all?
I don't have a movie.
Woodstock documentary. Amazing, guys.
Did you watch the second one?
I'm about to start the one from 99.
Yeah, you saw the first one we talked about.
Yeah, right? I know, but I just wanted to reiterate how awesome it was. And 99 is coming up.
Yeah, you'll like that. I think you'll like that one personally even better because you'll recognize a lot of the people on there from when you were in high school.
Okay.
Eddie, anything? You seen any movie lately at
just
all?
Just Pinocchio. Saw that last week. It's great. I mean, it really is, but it's just weird. I mean, it's dark. It's definitely not the way I remembered the cartoon being.
Yeah, I didn't remember any of that sad stuff about the cartoon.
Yeah, man, it's very sad.
I don't know I've ever seen the cartoon. I just know the story.
I have another fun fact about it that I learned. His name is Pinocchio because he's made of pine. Pinocchio. Didn't know that. I don't think they said that in the original movie.
What's Occhio, though?
I think they're Italian. So Occhio. It's just like Pinocchio.
All right, Morgan, thank you. Your next challenge is going to be to watch Beetlejuice.
Yes!
Oh.
Beetlejuice!
Have you ever seen Beetlejuice?
You know, I've seen a lot of pop culture things from it, but I don't think I've watched it front to end.
Michael Keaton is Beetlejuice, and if you say his name 3 times, he shows up. Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight, come in.
It's fall, too, so now I can get in the spirit of Halloween.
Yes, it's perfect timing.
Which is exactly why I wasn't, but sure. That's exactly it, and it's on. It looks like it is going to be on, what is it, Mike? Peacock. Do you have Peacock?
I do have Peacock.
Love it. All right, thank you, Morgan.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number 2.
It's always fun getting to hear about Amy's kids, and she shared an update this week on her son playing football. She had shared on Instagram his official football photo, which is really cute, and you can see that at bobbybones.com. But she also talked about if he's liking it, how it's been going, and there is something that he's afraid of when he plays a sport. And, you know, you might relate to it. Maybe you were like this playing sports growing up, or maybe your kids are like this now. So here it is. Amy talks about her son and him playing football.
Number 4.
Amy's son is playing football for the first time, which is awesome. He's really small.
Yeah, he's one of the smallest on the team.
Yeah.
If not the.
Yeah. But I admire that he's out there.
But he's got hustle.
He does. Yeah. And so how's it going?
I mean, it's going. He loves it so much. Like, and it's not like he's getting tons and tons of playing time, but he doesn't have any expectations for it. So it's awesome. I love his team. I love his coaches.
What's his team's name?
It's Navy.
Like they're the Navy?
They have colors.
They're a color. They don't have a mascot?
Well, he's part of a league, and the league has a name, and then inside the league, you're on a color. Each team has a color.
Oh.
Because they couldn't even get like an animal?
That is really weird.
I haven't seen an animal.
Ah, they could be like the Navy. What's the animal starts at the N? The
Navy.
Nippers.
Nippers.
What? What's a nipper?
I know that beats called the color than a nipper. Are there any animals that start with N?
No.
Or anything that starts with N?
Have we found the animal?
Interesting.
The Neanderthals? I mean, that's not an animal, but yeah. I can't believe they don't have a mascot. So, but have they...
Yeah, they won last weekend. I think that they're on a winning streak. I don't have the full total of he hasn't scored anything. He's played safety, but also another position that I can't remember. I love it. He's always waiting on the sideline. The coach, even the last game we were at, the coach had to yell at him to step back. Coaches get into it. Like they're really into it. They're yelling. And I just thought, he just got yelled at to step back. But I love that he was eager to be on the line watching the game.
Has he been hit hard?
Yeah, and he's very scared of that.
Yeah, me too. I was always scared.
I don't know that I should publicly say that.
Why? I say it. Now I hate it getting hit.
It's not fun.
Well, so if he ever hears this, I just don't want someone to be like, because I guess kids at school sometimes listen and they might be like, oh, heard you're scared to get hit.
I would like to say I was scared and still am scared to get hit as an adult man.
No, that's a big fear. Like he gets in the car and he's like, oh man, I was really scared to get tackled. But he's been reminded by everybody that knows football, like just go all full force. Like you'll get hurt if you don't go all in.
And are you watching any like game tape of him?
Yeah, they have a website you can go to where you can watch the end, everything. They load it up. A dad films it. It's a little shaky, but he could watch it. And he's watching college and the other
NFL.
Yeah. He's watching all the
games. Oh, boy.
Listen, that hadn't started first. College games started first. So he started with college and then NFL came. And he sits down and wants to learn from the pros.
I saw the picture you posted of him on your Instagram and you just wrote dead on it.
Yeah.
It's a good picture.
Yeah, except for that was confusing to some older people, I guess, in our family that followed.
They thought he was dead?
What?
They thought he died playing football? Oh, my goodness. Now it says, oh, my gosh.
I got a text message that, and it was very serious. It was not a joke. It's just from older people that didn't understand quite what dead meant. And so they were confused by the post. And I thought, could you imagine if that is how I announced our child died?
Just says dead.
And it's like a football picture. He's looking tough.
Yeah.
Like, this is how we lost our son.
I mean, there's that picture is pretty legit, too. There's
it's like an awesome
smoke
picture.
Smoke and lights.
Yeah. Dead.
All that's Photoshop, by the way.
So, will you explain to our listeners what dead means in case...
Dead means he looks so stinking cute in this picture that I die. Like, it's so cute and awesome that I'm dead. It's a saying. It's an expression. It doesn't mean...
You've been moved with so much emotion or feeling or reaction that it has caused you to die in a figurative sense.
Yes.
There you go. Okay, well, good luck to him. I'm excited for him.
Yeah.
Can you catch?
Yeah, he can catch. And he can throw. I mean, he doesn't have much opportunity to do it, but when we throw in the... I mean, I can throw too, quite
okay, she made it about her. Okay, we're going to get the song now.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
A bit controversial of a segment this week, Scuba Steve talked about the conversation him and his wife have had to be having lately in the last several months ever since she got pregnant with their third child. And the show kind of went at him. Some of y'all listeners went at him. It was, you know, just a lot happening in this segment. But I encourage you to listen to it and see some different perspectives and also check out the engagement online. If you got a strong opinion, you can share it with us there. You can call on the voicemail line. And let Scuba, because he's got to listen to those voicemails, though. So y'all be nice. Everybody needs to be nice out there. Okay, but this was a controversial segment on the show this week.
Number three.
Scuba Steve is our executive producer, which means he's calling the shots from behind the glass. Scuba, what's happening in your personal life right now?
So we have a third child coming, and my wife is now looking at the situation as, do I continue on working, or do I move forward with being a stay-at-home mother?
Has she ever been a stay-at-home mom?
Never. She's worked since she's 15 years old, so almost 20 years.
So on the third kid, now you guys have to make that decision based on how much it would cost for childcare?
Yes, it's kind of like outweighing that, like how much money she's bringing in versus what we pay for that, and it almost breaks even, so it's not worth it to have the nanny anymore.
So if it breaks even, well, but what about her mental health? And what about you? Because if she doesn't want to do it, but still, let's say it does help a bit financially, I mean, her, how she feels about it has got to be a big deal, right?
That's the biggest concern, is that because you've done something for so long, like imagine you leaving radio to become a stay-at-home father. That'd be cool, but it'd be very tough because you're changing up what you've always known and her independence and going to work and just all those things that you're not going to have anymore because you're tied to three kids at home, can't go anywhere.
These conversations have been had between you two. This is the first time you've talked about it, right? Here on the show? Can
yes,
you
imagine? Yeah.
Scuba would do that crap. And be like, I'm really nervous about talking to her about it. What's the conversation been like for you two?
So we've been talking about it for the last few months, just outweighing the financial side of things, which is the most important because we have to pay for ourselves and pay for them. But then, of course, the mental side of things. And we've made the decision to for her to walk away from work, and it's going to happen at the end of this month. So she's doing it.
Who really wanted that to happen?
I've always wanted it. Like when I took this job initially and when I left LA and moved here to Nashville about 2 years ago, we had kind of a conversation and she promised me she'd be a stay-at-home mother. But then a month or so later, she went right back to work. And I have to respect that as her husband and her partner to say that she wants to go back to work. I understand that. At the time, we could afford our lifestyle without her going to work, but she wanted it, so I gave it to her. But now we're at a point with three children. She's got to stay home.
So you really wanted it?
I really wanted it from the start and now, yes. Oh. I want my wife raising my children. Nothing wrong with an auntie or anyone else.
Here we go.
She's great. My mom was a stay-at-home mom and she raised us and gave us all our foundations and everything, and I would like for my wife to be that as well.
So based on how you grew up, mm-hmm. you want to make your wife do that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. How does she feel about it still?
She's very nervous. She cried at her last meeting last week because she has to leave this job that she loves. No. So it's very tough.
With three kids, could you have afforded for her to go to work?
Yes, she can go to work. But then it's almost like, what's the point of going to work? You're paying for the nanny and then there's no money left over.
Her desire to work.
Yeah, and she's not raising your kids. So that's also, you got to take that into account.
Here's the thing that stands out to me. Well, first of all, we can't pass down how we were raised and things. Like, we can't bring that into our own lives as much as we want to. You have to, like, forge your new way. Then she promised you she would do it. And then when she got here, she realized, oh, shoot, that's not really what I wanted to do. So she went back to work. That speaks volumes to me here about what she really wants.
But do you think she promised you that she would do it only to satisfy you at that time, that she really didn't even want to do it then?
Maybe. That could have been that, yeah.
She gave it a try and then was like, oh, God.
It was like only a month, though. It wasn't much of a try.
Much of a try? Wow. Okay, Amy, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just feel for her because, you know, I always thought whenever I became a mom, I would leave this show. And there was actually times where, I mean, if I had gotten pregnant, I had thought, well, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom, so I might as well quit. I got to raise a baby. And then it worked out to where I adopted older children that would go into school, so I never had to. But I think had it come down to it, I would have tried to stay with the show because I love my job. I love what I do. And even though I had made that promise to my husband and our family, and that's what I said I was going to do, I would have gone back on it, and it probably would have been a difficult conversation in our home, too. So I get where Steve is coming from. But you have to do what's best for her mentally. She's going to resent you.
Especially if you can afford it.
Yeah.
I feel like she's being bullied into this a little bit. Okay. Listen, if you want to be a stay-at-home mom, that's awesome. I think that's amazing. But it's you know.
It's not for everybody.
Right. It's for some people and those stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads.
Yes.
That you're a fundamental reason. You're the reason your child has whatever they have, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're there with them every day. You're making a difference. But if you don't want to do it, I don't think you're a good, I don't think you can be a good one if you don't have the desire to actually do it.
And it doesn't mean you love your kids any less or they're going to be less supported in any way. But Scuba, I would encourage you to talk to someone about it.
He just did. He talked to us.
No, we're not experts.
And he talked to his wife. She made a promise.
I think he made her promise. I think he made her make a promise.
Right.
And she tried it.
Not really much of a try.
A month?
Imagine if you had a kid and you said, hey, I want you to go try college. And they go for a month. It's not for me. Would you be like, okay, cool, you know, you gave it a try? Or would you be like, no, you need to stick it out?
A month's a pretty good sample size, though.
You need to stick it out for a semester.
Scuba, can she make a deal.
Okay.
Have her do a semester.
Okay, semester of being a stay-at-home mother.
She's not a child.
Yeah, stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
I'm just using what Lunchbox is saying. And say, hey, look, absolutely. I understand your desire to not be home all the time with the kids. So what if you do it this time for 4 months and if after 4 or 5 months you still are like, I don't think this is for me, we can actually readdress that.
Yeah.
And I think you leave the option open for both of you. She doesn't feel like she's being painted into a corner or has painted herself into a corner by saying this. Now I got to live up to my promise. A promise that you made her give anyway. Honestly.
Okay.
And Amy brings up a great point. You are holding her to your standard because of your mom.
Okay. Now, it would be a great compromise if after a few months, she still was a stay-at-home mother, but to satisfy the need of going to work, she works from home, like part-time.
But I think probably people that want to work, it's more about a social.
Getting out.
Yeah.
So, like, we'll go out and do stuff.
No, she sees you all the time.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm here a lot, but yeah, she'll get to see me more, maybe.
Maybe. Okay. This is all I'm going to say.
Okay.
I love it that you guys are having these conversations about your kids. That's great.
Yeah.
I think she promised you initially only to go, okay, this will never happen.
Or she gave it a shot.
And then she gave it a shot and didn't like it.
Yeah.
She ain't going to like it this time either, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I just think that this needs more conversation with experts, and you should open yourself up to therapy. Because
I'll talk to both of you at the same time.
Yeah.
I'll say this to her too. But instead of saying forever, say, let's try it for 4 or 5 months, make it a number and say, hey, let's readdress it then. And if you're just absolutely not happy, let's figure out how to make you happy.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good advice.
Oof. I vote 3 months. I feel like 4, 5, 6. Well,
how long's
a
semester?
Long time. No, a semester's too long. She's not a college student.
What is that?
She's an adult woman. And she it's like, can't even believe we're having to give her this.
Okay, 4 months, Scuba. I said 5, I said 4 months.
Okay, 4 months. That's a good compromise.
That sounds like a semester to me.
Yes,
it is.
All right, Scuba. Good luck, buddy.
Thank you.
Do you want to say when you're having your next kid? Can you?
Yeah, it's January. I think January 6th is the due date.
And she's already told her job she's leaving?
Yeah, she's leaving at the end of this month. She's out.
And she cried.
She cried. She already has a replacement set
up. I
know
we said last meeting she cried, but I didn't know.
Yeah, she's gone.
Good luck, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
the awesome group Little Big Town stopped by the studio. They just dropped a new album and talked about the different songs on it. Also, one of the songs in particular took them years to write. And I say them, but it's actually just one of the band members who has been working and writing the song, and finally he finished it and was ready to put it on a record after everyone heard it. So I encourage you to listen to this entire interview. If you want to watch and see them all laughing and smiling, sitting in the studio together, that's fun too. You can check that out at BobbyBones.com.
Number two. Good
morning, everybody.
Good morning, Bobby.
Hello. How are you?
So do you guys know, and maybe it's gotten back to you, that I can't say the name of your song?
What?
Oh, yeah. You don't cuss. I remember this from our little
Is that why we're losing it?
Podcast.
Okay, really, though. Here's a real question.
Yeah, Bobby,
is that really a curse word?
Well, in context, if you said, yeah, we're going to hell, I would say no, because that's a place.
Theoretically.
But when it's a feeling...
But
Bobby, I used to not cuss either, but then
life.
Well,
those three,
and then,
hanging out with degenerates,
and then we came along.
But they say it, so if we're ever going to do it, I'll say, "Hey, here's a new Little Big Town song."
Hey, but, hell yeah!
Yeah.
What if you said? What if you said? What if you said, "Hell yeah"?
I would never say that.
No.
Hell
yeah.
I would never.
Hell.
What about even Scotty McCreery's song, which is like a 10-year number one? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it. He cut us a version of Dang Straight.
What do you think's going to happen if you do say it?
Well, people in your business don't cuss, because then if you get in the habit of cussing and then you mess up on the radio, is that your reason?
Strictly moral. I think most people in my business cuss a whole lot. But
Yes.
They do.
If I write, because again, I do clean comedy and I write kids' books and I write.
I love that, Bobby.
Thank you.
I've got kids. I say hell.
I know, but I don't want to crutch it, because I will. I used to curse, but it'll always be a crutch for me.
My kid says hell.
Well,
see, that's what happens.
Because of our song, so does mine.
Yeah, the kids love this song.
What happens if you do say it?
I'll break my streak of like 4 years.
Oh, so it's competitive. It's competitive.
I only say it in songs, Bobby.
And I completely understand. And if I was acting, if
that's
someone was like,
doing.
This is a role, and you're going to play the role of F-word guy, I'd be like, well, okay. I got to go and say it.
Yeah.
So what's the next single? F-No?
Yes!
If you were playing the role of Sam Elliott, you'd have to say it.
The song's really good.
Thank you.
The new album's out today.
Thank you.
I just won't say the name of
it. That's fine.
Didn't hurt Scotty McCreery. If anything, it helped him.
That's fine.
Because we talked about it a bunch, and it became a little story. And
awesome.
So I'm protesting your song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's anything for a story. I'm protesting it, actually. And I think everyone should.
Would you put it on a billboard?
It should be a big success.
Would you write it on a billboard?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what you're talking about there.
I don't know. I was just saying, you know, if you want to advertise or something.
So new album out today. At this point, you guys have had so much success over so many years. Like, how do you even pick good songs anymore, Karen? Like, how are you picking the songs that you're doing now?
I mean, we're just writing like crazy, and that's why there's 16 songs on the record.
Because you couldn't decide?
Yeah.
Everybody
there's
gets
about
four?
20 like, more laying there.
Yeah, it's really hard to narrow down, you know, but I love this record, and hopefully everyone will love it, including Hell Yeah.
Yeah, I just love the feeling of this record. It's like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
I like track 4. Holy S. Wow. It's all my favorite curse words.
That's not true, people. It's not true.
It's not true. It's not true.
It's just a record of cussing titles.
I think that's a good,
when you get
project.
To track 7, F-U.
Let's do this, because I like to know why, mostly the first and the last song, especially when you do an album, right? Like why, because those two songs are really the two that you talk about the most. What do we want to start with? What do we want to end with? Kimberly, why All Summer as the very first track?
All Summer was one of the first songs we recorded for the record after COVID, when we finally got back together and started getting in the studio with masks on, which was so weird. So it's one of the first ones we cut, and it kind of set the tone for just fun and hopefulness and getting back together and having a good time. So that's why we decided to start the record the same way.
Ray, can you play a little bit of that for me? Here is track 1. This is All Summer.
But here I am, getting tan, drinking wine on the water, and it's easy and it's fun. If you want it, if I want, I'll be your dream in between. In your meantime, love it all summer. All summer.
Good. It's a fun start. It's like, here we are. We're here again.
Yeah.
Having a good
here we
time.
Are. We're back.
Let's go to the last track. Jimmy, Friends of Mine. That's the last track. Why?
This is a song that we wrote right at the end of the Nightfall record, we had a week with Foy Vance, and I don't know if you've ever met that dude, but he's just a magical dude, and we've written some really great songs with him, and this one felt like just even, you know, coming out of the past few years, there's just this encouragement for people, like, you know, things are getting better. It's the same kind of thing we were talking about with the beginning at the end, and we thought it would be, when we wrote it, we felt like it was a good closer for a show, almost like a thank you to the fans and an encouragement, and it felt the same for the record, so we ended with that. It's one of my favorite things we've ever cut.
Me right. too.
Do we have a little bit of Friends of Mine, Ray?
Everyone knows that in life sometimes the wind blows the rain in your eyes. I see your cup filled with kindness. Raise you a glass full of wine. Take a rich friend's of mine.
That sounds like into church.
Yeah.
That's what, kind of what it feels like.
It's got a little gospel-y feel in the whole production of it.
Yeah, we had some church in the studio, too.
Yeah, we did.
We were having so much fun together.
Yeah.
Jimmy, since you got the mic up, I want to talk about Rich Man for a second, because you wrote this one by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the only song that was singularly written. And so why? Let me play a little bit first. This is number 9, Ray, Rich Man.
Yeah, my soul, one thing I know, I ain't looking for a pot of gold. That ain't what this life means to me. I keep my head up high, feet on the ground. Love the ones I'm living now. Life is just that simple to me. Yeah, I'm a rich man.
I romanticize single rights, Jimmy, where I imagine you wake up at 2 in the morning and you got something burdening you, and you get a glass of milk. And you go onto the kitchen table and you take out a pen with a quill from the ink. And you grab a notebook and you go and you just can't, it all pours out of you. And then you walk into your bedroom, you know, your guest room, it's got a little studio in it, and you record it and you take it to the guys and you never go to sleep that night and you go, guys, I wrote this song called Rich Man. You play it for them, and they all cry. And then they all decide to record it. And that, to me, is... How accurate is that?
It's exactly how it happened.
That's it.
It's that story spread over 10 years.
Oh,
wow.
Many nights. Yeah.
I actually started writing that song, I think, probably around 2009. And it was one of those that, I don't know, I just couldn't ever settle on... that it was finished, it wasn't right, and it's one that whenever I would sit down at home by myself and
with a glass of milk,
yes, that it would always come back around. So it's just kind of hung around, and I finally finished it about a year ago, and we were at Karen and I were at a friend's house. There were a couple of friends over, and one of them was like, "Hey, play me something I haven't heard before," and the record is done, by the way, at this point. And so I played it for them, and their reaction was so genuine and emotional that Karen and I looked at each other like, well, maybe we should cut one more song. So we went in 3 days later and cut the track, and it's on the record. It was never really going to be until it was.
Pretty much nailed the emotional part, though, didn't I? They all cried. That's what I said.
Yeah, you did.
Played it for
yes, it was all there.
Bobby,
just spread out a little longer.
That's right. When we sat down and you said you can't say our song, I thought of Rich Man, and I was like, you can't call yourself rich. That's what I was thinking. He can't say.
Not publicly.
We all know you are.
That's a secret.
Yeah.
No.
I always think it's going away anyway. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. When Taylor put out Better Man from the Vault, right? Because... you know, you guys put out the song, it was a massive song, and it was like, wow, Taylor wrote it and got it to you guys, but then she puts it out herself. Is that cool to you guys?
Very.
Ah,
you,
amazing.
You liked it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, her fans, you know, she has an army, as we all know, of fans. And, you know, there were some that were like, we don't want to hear Karen sing this anymore, you know? But we don't care. I mean, it's incredible. The whole story of that journey of that song, and to hear her version is I mean, we got to hear it years ago, you know, and yeah, I think it was really cool.
What's the hardest Little Big Town song to sing?
Better Man.
Better Man's pretty hard.
Yeah, Better Man's hard.
Where if you're not feeling just right, you might not sing it that night because somebody, like, what's vocally the most challenging for the group to do?
We have a few of those for me.
Yeah. I'm always, when someone stops loving you is really hard.
Yeah.
You got to be really accurate.
Yeah.
You're very exposed on that one.
I mean, we all have a kind of a different one. And so, you know, most of the time we just sing them anyway.
You just let it rip.
You just go for
it. Yeah.
Do you ever watch back a clip and go, two things. One, wow, we are really good. Like on Instagram, somebody tags you. And then, holy crap, that was not good. Like, both of those. Because when someone records it from the crowd, it's already losing generation.
It's
coming
tricky.
In. But still, like, do you ever hear yourself and go, we are awesome? Yes. Yes or no? Do you ever do that?
I have. Yes, I've felt that one.
Yeah, I mean, but.
Because you are.
Well,
thank you, Sarah.
But
we have good nights.
I just heard something the other day and I was like, oh crap.
Yeah,
and it was like there was so much low end from the fan's phone that you couldn't really hear like what the center of pitch, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like you said, it's like not really a true reading, but
that's what I say too when I hear me back. I'm like, none of this is accurate. Right. Wait, they're not laughing at all. That must be some issue with the recording of the crowd. What's the easiest, most fun song for you guys to sing where it doesn't matter if you're sick or not, like if you got one that you know you can nail all the time, what is it?
I always say Boondocks.
Boondocks, yeah. Because we really don't have to sing it. We can just go.
Oh, you can hold it out to the crowd?
Yeah. Yeah, pontoons that way too.
Pontoons like, is an easy one.
Yeah.
What's the last performance you guys had where you were nervous at the result? Meaning, all right, we're going to do this either big show or big appearance. And let's hope after we're done, people blank, like you or the crowd. I don't know. What was the last like big performance where you were nervous?
We were in Dublin, Ireland, opening for the Eagles, and it was rainy and the stage was slick. And I think that was the most nervous I had been in a long time.
Yeah, the crowd didn't know us, and we were just like,
ooh, that's unfamiliar, huh?
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah. That's really hard.
Jeez. It was daylight, and you're like, well, there's no tricks. There's no spotlights. There's no smoke. You know, it's like, just got to get out there and earn our way.
Remind you of the early artist days, right? Yes. If you're going out in the daytime at a festival.
Yes. Yeah,
it was fun, though. I got super nervous at the ACM Honors. Because
me too.
We were singing,
I'll say that, too.
We were singing House That Built Me for Miranda.
You don't want to mess that song up.
Well, no, and she's like one of our best friends, and she's sitting on the front row. And
along with a lot of really famous people.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just got like very, okay.
Me too.
I'm singing this.
I would
in
say
front
that's my last time where I was like, woo!
And you think about Alan Shamblin and Tom Douglas hearing their song. But yeah, I got a little nervous.
The record is out. All 16 tracks. Almost a double album, we'd say.
It is.
We actually
did
have a double album. We had to cut it down. We had to whittle down to 16.
It is called Mr. Sun. It is out now. Listen, I think I've heard probably 9 of the 16.
Oh, cool.
Which I think for me is pretty good. I'll be honest with you.
That's good.
I mean, we'll take it.
Longer the days where I'm listening to anything. I'll be honest with you. But I did try to get to all. I guess I didn't have all the tracks because I got it one of those versions where it's like, here's the band's early new music, and then I think I had to go to the bathroom or something. And I refuse to take you guys into the bathroom with me.
Thank you.
Because I respect you too much for that.
We really appreciate it.
I listened to it while I was like working, and then I had to go to the bathroom, and sometimes that takes a long time, so I didn't finish it.
More Taco Bell for you, Bobby Bones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Take your shots, guys. Take your shots.
I'm not saying a word.
One day I'll be like you guys and be cool. So when I am, don't worry.
You're much cooler than I, Bobby.
Little Big Town's new record. It's out now. Mr. Sun, you guys go get it. It is. I can tell you, 8 of the tracks are wonderful. Come on. That's true. I'm being honest here. All right, you guys go stream it. It's there now. Thank you guys for coming in. Always good to see you guys.
Thank you.
Little Big Town.
Thanks, everybody. Love y'all.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number 2.
And coming in at the number 1 spot this week, the show found out we were nominated for a CMA award for this year's awards ceremony. And we are so excited. Y'all, we couldn't do it without you guys. the listeners who support it, who share the show with their friends and family, who engage with things online, who call into the show. So it's a team effort over here with you all included, and we couldn't be nominated for that award without you all. But we're super stoked around here, and this is just a big congratulations to my fellow show members, as well as a big shout out to all of you for supporting us and loving what we do. We couldn't do it without you guys. So yeah, this had to be in the number one spot because we love y'all.
Number one.
CMA Awards. It's the big award show. They had the nominations. Here you go. Single of the year. Tell me which of these songs you like the best and that should win the award. Buy Dirt from Jordan Davis and Luke Bryan. Find the one you can't live without. Half of My Hometown from Kelsea Ballerini and Kenny Chesney. Half of My Hometown, still hanging around. Still Never Wanted to Be That Girl, Carly Pierce and Ashley McBride. I never wanted to be that girl. Till You Can't, Cody Johnson. If you got a chance, take it. Take it while you got it. And You Should Probably Leave, Chris Stapleton. Yeah, you should probably
leave.
Man. Yeah, well, yeah, they're all good. So write your answer down, and if we were picking, just by our votes alone. All right, I'm in. Everybody in?
Yeah.
All right. Amy, who do you have?
Cody Johnson, Amy Money Mo.
That's what? Not the name of the song, but okay.
That's how I picked him.
Lunchbox?
Cody Johnson, Till You Can't.
Eddie?
You Should Probably Leave, Chris Stapleton's Jam.
I have Buy Dirt, but that makes Cody Johnson.
Woo!
The Bobby Bones Show.
You
yeah.
Got a chance, take it.
Okay, well,
guys.
He doesn't really get an award for that, but this is a category I made up. Best songs, you only know the song title in the lyrics. For example, if I were to say Beer's on Me, how much of that song can you actually sing?
Come on and stay on now. Everybody's got a little something on
so
their
none.
Mind.
So none, actually. Okay, yeah. Eddie, what can you do?
Nothing, dude. I don't even know the melody to that song.
I can do it. Beer's on me. All right, that's the first out. Go hit that.
Come on now, swing on by. Bring whatever's been on your mind. Locals on town.
Eddie, can you do Freedom Was a Highway?
Yeah. If freedom was a
exactly,
highway.
Exactly. That's my point. You only know that. Yeah. Jimmy Allen or Brad Paisley. And then the other nominees, Gabby Barrett, The Good Ones. Amy, how much of that can you sing?
One of the good ones.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
One of the good ones.
And since this isn't real, I'm just going to go ahead and pick Jimmy and Brad Paisley. The winner is Freedom Was a Highway. All right, this is a real one. Entertainer of the Year. Luke Combs, Miranda Lambert, Chris Stapleton, Carrie Underwood, and Morgan Wallen.
Ooh.
Like okay. This, if they're being legitimate, it has to be Luke Combs and Morgan Wallen. It just has to be.
I'm in.
And unless there's something going on, who, you know, they could get, who knows? Luke and Morgan Wallen, they're the only two that really should have a chance to win this thing. Okay, go ahead. I go Luke Combs. Amy?
Luke Combs.
Eddie?
Man, Morgan Wallen, when he came to town, that was the hottest ticket ever. So you got to give that to Morgan Wallen.
Lunchbox?
Luke Combs.
Yeah, just because I think Luke played stadiums.
I mean, he canceled a show, sort of, still played, gave his best, but refunded every money because his throat.
Yeah, by the
way, but
his,
he didn't play, though, because the entertainer.
No,
he
played. He did play.
He did play.
He finished
what I'm
the
saying.
Show.
But he didn't sing because his throat hurt.
No, he still
sang. He sang just
he
not as
it.
Well as he did
yeah,
usually.
That's entertainer.
Okay.
Yeah, that's entertainer. Okay, so, and then let's do a couple of the fake categories. Best songs that Bobby will not say the title to.
Ooh.
Oh, I got
yeah, I know
it.
One.
All right, that one from Scotty McCreery that's called what, Amy?
Damn Straight.
Correct.
Damn Straight.
There's one from Eric Church. Eddie, do you know this one?
Hell yeah.
Close.
What is it? I don't know.
It's about a view.
Oh, hell of a view. Hell of a view.
Hell of a view.
Yeah. And then Little Big Town. Eddie, do you know their new one?
Huh.
You just said it for Eric Church.
Hell yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Hell yeah, I go get drunk on Friday.
All right, and the winner is Scotty McCreery. There you go. It has to be.
Damn straight.
All right, the new category, the fake category. Most overplayed song on the radio.
Oh, man.
Walker Hayes, Fancy Like.
Yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night.
Dustin Lynch and Mackenzie Porter are Thinking About You. I was just thinking about that weekend out of Carmen. Or Jason Aldean and Carrie Underwood, If I Didn't Love You. If I didn't love you, I'd be goodbye. So it's a fake category, but we're going to vote. We made it up ourselves. Most overplayed. All right, you guys good?
Oh, yeah, that was a simple one.
You got it written down. Lunchbox.
Fancy Like.
Eddie?
If I Didn't Love You, dude, I heard that all the time.
Dude, me too. When that started again, I was like, oh. Like, just there. And it's a good song, but we heard it so much.
Yep.
As soon as Ray played that clip, I was that, ugh, came on again. Amy?
Yep, If I Didn't Love You. Yeah. If I didn't love
you, I'd be good. Dear God, save us. It was a good song the first 10,000 times. Final category, a number one song you forgot was ever a number one. Meaning it just kind of came and went, and if it's played, you go, oh, yeah, I remember that, but eh. Michael Ray, Whiskey and Rain. Yeah, Whiskey and Rain, coming down, coming down. When you hear it again, you remember and go, oh, that was good.
You also forget it's Michael Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem, yeah.
Yeah,
Parmalee, Take My Name. So take my hand, let me make you mine. I'm through waiting, taking my time. Or Lee Bryce, Memory I Don't Mess With. That's a memory I don't mess with. Those songs came and went.
Why?
Really quick.
Those first two were jam. I mean, they're all good, but.
Amy, say what you mean. I mean what you say.
Yeah, go ahead. You don't have to backtrack.
Well, the first two, I like them all, but the first two I really enjoyed, and it's sad they weren't here longer. Okay.
So the number one song you forgot was the number one, Amy. Yours is going to be Lee Bryce?
No, it's going to be Whiskey and Rain. I forgot.
I don't think you understand the category.
Oh, well, I guess I don't.
Eddie?
Yeah, Michael Ray, dude, my boy. I mean,
yeah.
That's
I get it.
That's my dude. And it happens to me with all of his songs. I'm like, that's Michael Ray again? Oh, yeah, that was good.
But I don't think you guys get the category.
Yeah, they don't get the category. Lunchbox, you can decide the whole winner here. Go ahead.
It's Lee Bryce. You had no idea that's the number one song.
Yeah. That's the point there. Oh. And Amy said it, and then she goes, and I go, Michael Ray.
Oh,
and then Eddie goes, my boy, Michael Ray.
Yeah,
you know what, though? I think it's just how you look at it. You know, Eddie and I think differently.
Okay. okay, well, congratulations to everybody who was nominated for CMA, and that's it. We were nominated for show, which is cool, and we made sure that everybody's name, including the building cleaners, the people that come in and fix our equipment, people we wave at on the street, they were all listed.
Oh, I mean, I saw the names and I was like, what are we doing?
Well, we don't want any controversy here, and why not? Why not? So like, it was like Bobby, Amy, Eddie, Lunchbox, Scuba Steve, Mike D, Abby, you know,
Morgan.
Elena, Carlos, it was everybody. Mary.
Ray.
It's a team effort.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. We'll see if we win. If we don't win,
like,
we're not happy about it. All right, is that it?
Yeah, I need to go check out the list.
Okay, yeah, you were on there. Don't worry.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
All right, that's it for me this weekend on the Best Bits. I hope you enjoyed it, listening back to all these segments from the show this week. If you want to see some more, there's a lot of content up at BobbyBones.com or on our social media at BobbyBonesShow. And, of course, make sure you check out Best Bits Part 1, which is my personal favorite part of this podcast, where I bring on a show member and we kind of talk about these segments, but not really. We talk about life and a lot of things going on and random conversations and questions that I like to have answered. And there was even a question I asked Ray on the Best Bits this weekend that he pled the fifth to, or pled the shot. I don't know how you want to put it, but it was a great interview and it was super fun to talk to Ray and catch up on live. So be sure to check that out while you have some time this weekend. I love y'all. Thank you guys for always listening and engaging and also like talking to me on social media about the Best Bits. That's so fun for me. So love you guys. Thank you. Make sure you follow me at WebGirlMorgan. I'll see y'all later. Have a good weekend. Yes, Bobby Bones.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.